welcome back to Bit by Bit. I'm Janet, here with Jess.
Hi.
And today we are going to talk about Microsoft's conference at E3. So we're just going to run down kind of what was discussed in the conference, what our thoughts were on things that were discussed. So of course we're going to be talking about Xbox Project Scorpio, which finally got a name, a price, a
release date.
And then, of course, all of the games that were mentioned, some of which are pretty typical, like Forza Motorsports, some of which are new and exciting, some of which that are new and not that exciting. So we're just going to run through the whole list. So I'll start things off with some things I first noticed in the conference. The first thing that really stood out, which I think, Jess, you can agree with this, is the hideous shirt that Phil Spencer was wearing.
What are you doing, Phil?
For the conference, of course, Phil Spencer of Microsoft walks out, and he has a shirt that says Player One. Also, wasn't the one in parenthetical?
Yeah, it was like Player One in parentheticals or something.
And then it was the Xbox One controller, like to a 45 degree angle. So it was like the Xbox One controller at a 45 degree angle, and then underneath it said Player One. And at no point did Player Two appear.
The graphic design of it was bad. The purpose of it was unknown. Like, it was just a bad shirt.
It was one of those really bad, ugly gamer shirts that you see at, like, GameStop or Kohl's or, like...
But it was worse than
the
Kohl's.
The worst that Target has to offer, but, like, really bad. Like, more like... It was, like, a shirt that you get at, you know those, like, the middle parts of the mall? Ooh, it's, like, you have the mall, and then in the middle you have, like, these random little stores that are, like, trying to sell you things. And some of them are cool, like, you know, Pokemon or something. And some of them are, like, weird, like... glow shoes for adults, and then some are just like tacky, like emoji pillows and like bad t-shirts. Like that's where that was from. So
yeah, so that was a little weird. Not a great start. But
it was very gamer
though.
Most
important.
It's important. Aesthetics are always important. So that stood out to me a lot. It was funny too in the context of E3 2017 because I don't know if you saw on Twitter, Jess, but there's this image floating around of, the shorts at E3 are really ugly this year. I don't know how real or legitimate images, but it was like, you know, one of those tacky shirts that said like awesome gamer with an arrow pointing up, and like there was another one that said, yeah, I was at E3 2017, and it's like, what, why? But that's what that shirt was. First thing that stood out. Next thing that obviously is, you know, a little bit more important, Xbox Scorpio got its name, and it is Xbox One X.
Or did you say Xbox One S? Because, you know, I couldn't really hear you.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the name either. X. And then S.
Because you have the way Xbox too One similar S. I don't mind it's called Xbox One X, even though it's kind of like weird and redundant sounding. But that you already have an Xbox One S.
Yeah.
S and X. Like if I'm on the phone talking to you, that's the one you're going to be like S as in Sally or X as in xylophone. Like
Even though that doesn't sound like X either. So
no,
it's not.
But I can't think of any other.
Neither. X-ray?
X-ray. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be a better one. You'd be better on the phone than me, which is unfortunate because my job involves talking on the phone a lot. It's okay.
Also, what does X stand for? Because S, doesn't S stand for small? It always felt like it stood for small to me. Xbox One, like S, like tiny, like small.
Super.
Yeah,
but I don't know what the X stands for. And it's fine, but Project Scorpio is way cooler than Xbox One X. Also, I will say, I don't know if for you, but I was kind of... I mean, I guess I kind of knew in my heart of hearts that, like, the Xbox One X, or the Project Scorpio, rather, was going to be something that was, like, kind of just an enhanced, you know, gaming, console and whatever. But I kind of was expecting there to be something more interesting for me. And I guess it felt like, I thought it was going to be something a little different than the PS4 Pro. And really, it's just, like, the Xbox version of the PS4 Pro.
What were you looking for?
I don't know. I just wanted to be wowed. You know, I kind of felt like the Xbox One X is a game or a console that I can skip without any repercussions whatsoever. And I will say that I know some people would argue with me. They're like, no, the 4K. I don't have a 4K TV. I can't afford to get a 4K TV anytime in the future. And I honestly don't mind the way my graphics look right now. I think they look great. So for me, I'm like, what's the purpose of this?
I don't think anyone would argue that you need to get it. I think it would be ridiculous to argue that you would need to get it. I feel like I don't know anyone that would argue that, except for like, I feel like it's more like a PC Master Race culture thing, where they're like, you know, PC gamers sometimes are like very focused on graphics. So that's the big thing that's better on PC, as well as accuracy. I've heard of that a lot with, you know, a mouse versus a controller. But other than that, yeah, I can't imagine any console gamer saying that, like, you need to get this. I think that'd be a ridiculous statement, which is why, like, you know, it was what I expected it to be. But one thing I was disappointed in was the design of it. So I kind of saw the design before because they showed, like, the dev kit image of it. But I really wanted it to have, like, a white incorporation in it because I wanted it to be, like, kind of an inspiration. Like, visually, I wanted to see it inspired by the Xbox One original and the Xbox One S. Yeah. And I didn't feel that from the design. And that was disappointing to me. Because it doesn't look good. I don't think it looks normal. Good. It looks very... like, and then it was funny, we were watching it, you know, on my TV, and next to my TV right now, my living room TV is my PS4 currently. And it, like, with its little, like, indent, it kind of looks a little bit like the PS4. It's not, it doesn't have that slanty design, but it, like, it reminds me of the PS4 in a way that I really wish it didn't, because, you know, it just ends up being, like, another box.
Well, you know, though, I'm thinking about it, and if I'm being honest, if I'm being honest, I never really care when a new console comes out, except for that it means that there'll be new games for me to play.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, so I guess I shouldn't be that bummed out about the Xbox One X because it's it's not like my gaming, you know, lifestyle changes it whatsoever. But I will say, just on the topic of this, even though this came later in the conference, if that's okay for me to bring up.
Yeah.
Very, very excited about the announcement of backwards compatibility for the original Xbox generation games.
Yeah.
Really excited about that. I was shocked by that. I'm like, stoked about it. I'm like... all right, I gotta call my mom at home and be like, "Mom, dig out the Xbox games from the garage, that box I left at home. Like, I need them." So, I mean, I know they won't all be backwards. Yeah.
No, I know your mom would never get rid of that.
No, but she sure as hell does not know where any of those boxes are.
They all got damaged from the water.
Videos. Love you, Mom.
But, yeah, that's exciting. And then one thing I actually was really impressed by, even though I was disappointed in the design choice, specifically the color for the Xbox One X, the fact that it's going to be smaller than the S,
that's exciting.
Is amazing to
me. That's nice. It's not enough to make me drop $500 on it, but it's nice.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Especially as someone that, you know, I'm considering Scorpio or, I mean, Xbox One X. I hate this thing. No, it doesn't sound good. But I'm considering it just because I do have a 4K TV in my living room. I think it would be nice to utilize it, especially because I don't know how much you know this, Jess, or anyone listening, but... even though I mentioned it to you, like, you know, off camera while we were watching the conference, a lot of media in general doesn't utilize 4K because it's not like the hot thing right now. It's kind of like how back in the day when HD came out, not all these channels were shooting in HD. There was like standard def.
Yeah.
And nowadays, like, you watch like an NBA game or something, it's all in HD. Like, everything's HD.
It takes a while for everything to catch up to the newest.
Yeah. Tech. So obviously it's like a you know, kind of a bougie complaint or whatever, but I would love, like, more things to do, like 4K things, because I do have a 4K TV and I don't get to utilize that to its maximum capacity as much as I'd obviously like, since, you know, I have the TV. So that's one reason I'm thinking of getting the X. And then I was also tempted by the S because I love the size. Like, it fits. It can actually fit, like, by my TV, which, like, my living room one, like, the way it's designed, it doesn't have, like, it's on top of, like, a fireplace. So it's not like I can't really...
You don't have a ton of space.
Yeah, there's not, like, a TV stand for it. So there's not... I mean, I can, like...
You don't have all these nooks and crannies.
Yeah,
and
I can always get like a shelf next to it, but then that's also like lame. I kind of can't. I mean, you guys can't see my setup, but like Justin see it from here. It doesn't really work well. Yeah, so that was really impressive to me, especially with the S being so small. One thing I wish they could do, or they at least did to some extent, was actually show the system in real life. I know, you know, me and Jess watched it with our mutual friend Catherine, and my roommate Maggie was also here, and she mentioned like, oh, but, like, what's the real size of it? Because it actually looks kind of big. And it does, because, like, you're showing it on TV.
Because they only show it in this, like, they don't have any, like, comparisons of things. They, like, show the box, and I'm like, it's small. And I'm like, but where is this box at?
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to have it in real life. Even just having it on screen, just, like next to each other.
Like, have a pineapple next to it to show how big it is compared to
like
a pineapple.
Or, like, an Xbox One S.
I guess
an Xbox One would be better than a pineapple, but yes. So that's something I kind of wish they did, but... okay, that kind of took longer than I thought it would. But yeah,
but
yeah,
we can get into the games and everything, but that's how our feelings on the X.
Bottom line, so you're a no on it.
No, I'm not. I'm a no.
I'd agree with that. I think if you don't have a 4K TV, there's no point even thinking about it. It does look better on 1080p as well, but to me, like, either you're going all the way, like, with your upgrade, or you're not. So I feel like if you can't do the 4K...
I'm sure it does look better, but yeah. It's not worth it to me. The price point's not worth it.
Especially with, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're gonna, like, really invest, like, you should have all the stuff. Now, I'm not saying you should buy a 4K TV for the Xbox X, but I'm saying if you already have 4K, if you're interested in 4K, it's something to consider. For me, I'm still really on the fence about it. If I can pre-order it at a GameStop or something, which I have to look into after recording this, I know you can pre-order online, but that you need the full 500, then I'm going to pre-order it just to, like, have the pre-order in, and then I can decide later if I don't want to do it or not. But I'm definitely just really on the fence. I'm not really sure. Honestly, it not being white at the top kind of ruined it for me a little bit.
So weird.
It doesn't look good. It's just a black soulless box. Okay, moving on.
So the games we can play on our black soulless boxes. So I guess for me, I'm just going to jump in and start talking. I'll go and I'll talk about, you know, one of the games that I found interesting. Maybe we can switch off a little bit here and there or just kind of dig into them. But I think the first game that I found super interesting from this conference was Metro Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard of the Metro, like, game before. I guess the original came out on the Xbox 360. Before today?
No. Or really?
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Okay. I must have just missed it when it was on the 360. It was just one of those things that I missed. I definitely wasn't as involved in, like, gaming news and, like, being, you know, on top of, like, what, like IPs there are and everything before a couple years ago. So I was playing games, but I was just kind of playing games that I was familiar with and, like, I was coming into contact with. I never heard of Metro, and it looks great. So I'm going to pick up the original Metro. I'm going to play that. And then when this new one comes out, I'm going to play that, too. It looks awesome. So I don't know how you felt about Metro. I know that's not necessarily your, like, normal game.
No, but I think a lot of these games weren't really my... I don't know who I am anymore. I know I'm Nintendo, which is not where I want to be in my life, but it's actually pretty nice right now, so I don't know. It's not the worst thing. You know, Mario Odyssey. Okay. So, as far as Metro, I also am not super familiar with the series. My first encounter with Metro was, I used to work at GameStop for a little while, and I would always see it on the shelf. When I'm putting the things, alphabetizing the shelf. And that's literally it. I'm like, this is a game I see a lot.
Yeah.
That's it. I never got around to playing it either. It looks all right. I mean, I am not, like, you know, a big shooter person or a big zombie person, as anyone who's listened to this before knows. But as anyone who's listened to this before also knows, I'm pretty open-minded to stuff. And it looks all right. I mean, like, I had fun playing, like, Resident Evil 7. Like, maybe I'd have fun playing this too.
There's zombies in Metro.
Like,
I didn't see them in the trailer.
Were they? What was
that?
They
were, like, these weird little beasts.
I think, well, I guess...
They're making zombie
creatures.
Noises.
Yeah.
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 Scary. It was like, it's got a horror twist
yeah,
to it.
Yeah. Horrific, like, horror creatures. Yeah.
Maybe
which
there are
Resident
zombies
Evil 7
later,
also didn't have zombies. They had, that's,
yeah, that's a good point.
That's kind of why I brought it up, in them in comparison, because they both had, like, creatures that had bodies but not heads. And the heads were, like, concaved from, like, a weird opening.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
that's totally fair.
Weird open head creatures. Yeah. So I could maybe get into that. You know, visually, it looked beautiful.
Yeah, it looked great.
But, yeah. Other than that, let's see. Forza Motorsport 7 was announced. That seemed cool. Personally, I don't do realistic sports driving.
Me neither. I want to do the ones where I'm, like, chasing the cops or jumping onto, like...
Yeah,
not chasing
I'm bad at jumping
onto big trucks and stuff. I want my Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like...
I'm bad at...
I don't like the driving in the circles. I'm not, like, coordinated enough.
I thought you said you like the truck driving, though. Like, when you're on a track.
No, that's one I don't
like. Oh, it's one you don't... Okay, so you
said you
don't like
that.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, that's the only one I don't like. I like the real world, you know, like, cops chasing me down and I'm going on...
One thing I found interesting was, and remind me just where I got this quote from, because I think it was related to Metro Exodus, but I don't remember. At one point they said RPG elements in a large systemic world. Was that in relation to Metro Exodus? I feel like that might...
I think so.
I think that might have been.
That sounds right.
One reason I wrote that down in my notes was because I kind of feel like that's going to be... You know, gaming goes in waves of these trends. And I feel like that is the latest trend. RPG elements in a large systemic world. Or, like, a large open world.
I mean,
like,
that's been the trend for, like, years.
I mean, yes, but, like, it's building. But it's,
like,
still
going. That's, like, my whole gaming life.
Well, I guess to me, I feel like it's been a lot more mainstreamed. Like, it's so mainstream that even I've played those games, and I don't seek those. Like, that's not my thing.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like it's like, seeping into all games. Like, games that never did that before are, like, picking that up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying, like, obviously, like, games of most genres have existed for forever, but I feel like, you know, RPG elements incorporated to either systemic worlds or open worlds is, like, it's, like, if you want to put a spin on something or make something fresh and new, like, that's the new thing. Like, toss in an RPG element, toss in, like, something like that. So that being said, I don't know how I feel about that, but that's just something that I found interesting. Player Unknown Battlegrounds. I think that could be cool, but it was one of those games that was hard to convey like its enjoyment to me.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed interesting. That was the one where there was sort of like a battle royale style thing. Where,
yeah,
like, it seemed funny.
They pitched it as like one player needs to be standing.
I liked at the end where they mm-hmm. had the guy that yeah. hit him with the frying pan. That was funny. It looks cute. It's not really my style of game, mm-hmm. but I think that it could be really good. So, I mean, it's nice to see more exclusive titles, but yeah.
Yeah.
I found in general, most exclusive titles for Xbox One are not in my genre. Like, some things are, like, State of Decay mm-hmm. 2. You know, that's an Xbox One exclusive, and that's great, and I really love that kind of game. But most of the time, I feel like the exclusives for Xbox One are not as up my alley as they are as, like, PS4 exclusives and other things. Mm-hmm. Which is ironic, because I don't have a PS4.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things I like to play on Xbox One are across parties.
Yeah.
Still. And I just happen to play them on Xbox One. I feel like Player Unknown Battlegrounds, because this is a game that I believe has already been out like for PC, but it's just like kind of new to console, and it's a console exclusive. I feel like that would be a good game to have like a weekend free trial or something, because like I'm not sold in it right now, but I'd definitely be interested in playing like it for a weekend or a couple days. So hopefully they do something with that. I found it interesting that they had that like right before they showed Deep Rock Galactic, which is like another game that is like last person standing, basically. What was Deep Rock Galactic about again?
Deep Rock Galactic was like this weird thing where they're like drilling through rocks and stuff, and
the just polygon shapes. But that's all they showed, right? It was just
No, that was not last man standing.
One thing I think I like kind of got from this conference a little bit was there was a good amount of titles that they kind of just like panned by. And then I was kind of like,
well, to be honest, I liked that as opposed to like the EA, you know, because for me, I kind of know if I'm interested in playing a game pretty quick. And that's I could be wrong, but you know, like, and I can adjust that later. But like, I felt like with the EA conference, you know, which we have our own discussion mm-hmm. on, so that's fine. There was like a lot of times where there's a game I was like for sure not interested in, and they're like, let's stop and talk for 5 minutes. And I'm like, no, you know, because I'm not interested in it, and I know other people are, but I liked when it just sort of like, he would be like, okay, so these games are going to be kind of like this, and they use this, and let's watch. And then we watched like five in a row, and I was like, great. And then I already know what I want to play from those games. I don't need any extra details besides what I can look up online.
I think it kind of depends. For me, what I look for is, I guess, something that's a little bit more halfway. So, like, some of these things that the Microsoft conference went through were just, like, a little bit too quick. And then some of them felt a little too long because I wasn't interested. Like, once I knew I wasn't interested in Forza Motorsport, which I knew from forever because I just don't like that game that much, like, it suddenly felt, like, just so long. And I also wonder, I'm like, oh my god, is my attention span, like, just really crummy? Because I just couldn't. I'm just like, oh, when's it going to be done? Darwin Project is the one I meant that has the last person standing. So I found it interesting that there were two games that are like,
remember what Darwin Project was?
I
don't remember.
It was the one with the guy that was announcing like crazy, and he's like, and now where's he gonna go? Is it, oh look, he's gonna,
you're right,
catch him from the, yeah, that guy was really intense.
That makes sense. It's called Darwin Project because it's like survival of the fittest.
I mean
that looks interesting too. Like I said, a lot of these are not really in my like playstyle, so mm-hmm. for me I'm like, that's cool and I hope someone enjoys them, but I'm probably not
gonna. What would you say your playstyle is?
I mean, for me, I like RPGs. I like RPGs that are sort of more, sometimes more fantasy-based or character-based or exploration-based, that kind of thing. I don't, really classically, like the Elder Scrolls series. I like Fallout. I like, you know, that sort of thing. And I like stuff that's not sort of, I feel like a lot of Xbox One exclusives that I saw today were very sort of run and gun and crazy weirdness and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I just want to sit down and calm down with my coffee in the morning for an hour and not do this. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with those games. It's just not how I play. So for me, those like games, I was like, cool, let's move on, because I'm not going to play the Darwin Project. I'm not going to play Deep Rock Galactic. I'm not going to play Battleground. Mm-hmm. I am going to play State of Decay 2. I am going to play Metro. And there's a couple other in here that I'm really interested in. And I'd say there's some games, like you mentioned before, where they didn't really give me quite enough details in the trailer itself to be able to know if I want to play, but at least I know what my interest has piqued. Like The Last Knight. That's another Xbox exclusive.
Can you talk about that one for a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I'll talk about as much as I know, which was very little because the trailer was not that expansive. But that was the one, I believe, if I'm thinking of the right one, where it's a little bit pixelated looking, and he's like in the cityscape, and there's like, you know, and it's just this guy walking around, and he hops in the cab at the end, and it looks like there's some like adventure that he's going on, or some there's some drama, something he's trying to get to the bottom of, but you don't know.
I think it was called The Last Knight.
Yeah.
The Last Knight? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. The Last Knight. Oh, when you said night at first, I thought of it with a K.
No, no. Yeah. Night. The Last Knight.
Like,
yeah.
Nighttime. Yes. I was also interested in that. So, I guess.
It was cute. It looks cute. I'm like, I'll play that. I know The Artful Escape was one that you were very interested in, but it's a new title now, right? Didn't used to be called that for the
Kickstarter? I think it was originally called, like, something really, really long. Like, Francis Van... Ready is da-da-da-da. It's like, it had a long name.
Okay.
I can kind of sneak look that up real quick to see if they still have that out there. But they, yeah, that was a Kickstarter. So you're also interested in that, or is that one that you're...
Yeah, I mean, this one I will probably play, I'm not super excited about it. Like, I'll play it because it's kind of adorable and, like, strange, and I want to see what it's about. But it's not, it's still not really classically in my genre, which is fine, because I like to branch out a little bit. But, it's not my go-to kind of game, but it looks like it could be interesting. I was mildly annoyed. I know I shouldn't be this annoyed at this, but I was a little annoyed when it was like, you know, coming out whenever the hell it's ready. And I was like, yeah, well, obviously. I mean, I know that, like, indie developers get a lot of pressure put on them about release dates and everything.
I was really annoyed by that, too. I feel like,
okay, like...
I have this issue in general with, and I'm sure, like, big developers can do this, too. But it can happen a lot with indies, I think, a little bit more, probably because they don't have more overhead on people saying, hey, you should or shouldn't do that. That being said, AAA people make mistakes all the time with that kind of stuff. Like, there was, shoot, I'm trying to remember what game it was, but there was a game that it might have been, I don't want to say it the wrong title because I don't want to drag the wrong game. It might have been Deus Ex.
Deus Ex?
Deus Ex, yeah. But I don't know if it was a different, if that game were a different game, but there was a game that... use the hashtag Aug Lives Matter, like AUG, like augmented, like you know,
goodness.
And then people were like, hey, this is insensitive towards like movements for real people. And they're like, oh, we like made this before any of these movements happened. It was super bad. So that being said, whatever game that was for, whether it's, what's the name of the game I just said?
Deus Ex.
Yeah. Whether it's that game, I don't know if it was that game. I don't remember, so I might be messing that up. But yeah, so AAA big names make PR mistakes all the time. But like, yeah, I was also really annoyed by the coming out. What was it? Whenever the
hell it's ready.
Whenever the hell it's ready. It's like, well, you know, no, yeah, we know that. That's common sense, and it's rude. It's obnoxious. It's right
also,
up there.
Also, you
with,
need us. Because we're going to play your game. So don't snub us.
Why don't you just say
I'm
that?
I'm not going to give you a hard time. I know it's going to take... I know that not everyone is as like polite as that. I know a lot of people are like really insensitive and
but
crazy.
Also, do you
but
think
like, also,
are people
going to
be less naggy if you say like whenever the hell it's ready?
No,
like,
they're just going to come after you on Twitter, man. What are you
doing? And you know what? I'm going to be the one coming after you on Twitter because it's stupid. It's obnoxious. It's right up there with, you know, what's the name of my number 9? You know, making fun of anime fans in their trailer, you know, you'll be crying like an anime fan on prom night. It's obnoxious and immature. It's and on this note, like, the other thing that I noticed indie devs doing sometimes, and this one I do know who it was, but I don't want to call them out, so I'm not going to say what it is. But, like, I was reading someone's Patreon for their game, and they were like, one of their tiers was, like, you know, a little bit higher up. It wasn't crazy. Let's say 30, 50 bucks or something. And they were like, they like, didn't really have extra, like, rewards for that. And they were like, oh, don't know why you'd get this. Like, whatever. Like, they were kind of, like, downplaying their own, like, work. Like, oh, like, LOL, look at my, like, shitty art. And, like, you know, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just this derby dev. It's like, okay, look, like.
You gotta rep yourself a little.
Yeah, like, you need to be professional about this. Like, some people are charmed by you. But, like, for me, I just see it as unprofessional. And just, it's just, that's the bottom line. It's unprofessional. And, like, you're still, like, in a business. And you're still, like, a professional in your field, and I feel like it turns me off when devs or anybody does stuff like that, because it's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, and it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I'm not gonna not buy the game because of that, but I will talk smack on Twitter about it. It was something
that
irked
me. So yes. When I think about like the presentation of like the conference, that's one of the things that stood out to me.
Yeah, presentation. That's all this is. It's a presentation. That's
what E3 is. Otherwise, you can just release these trailers online. Exactly. You know? But anyway, so that's one I'll definitely play. There's a few other like exclusives that personally I'm not gonna touch on because I was not that interested in them. Mm-hmm. Sea of Thieves was one that we were both really interested in from last year's E3. And I know that you were a little underwhelmed by the trailer this year, right?
Yeah.
Why was that?
It felt very boring to me. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it kind of reminded me that I don't really know what this game is. And I'm not, and based on seeing what the trailer showed, I'm not sure if I want to be involved in what it is. So kind of what the trailer was really showcasing was, you know, working with multiple players, presumably online, though it didn't explicitly say that. And it was, like, to go to, like, an island and then get some treasure and then leave with the treasure back to your boat and then to continue, rinse, wash, repeat. Mm-hmm. That repetitiveness, it felt like that would be dull to me as a game. Now, guys, there's a lot of assumptions being made because it's not a lot shown. So, like, when I'm watching
this... Well, that leaves room for assumptions.
Yes. Yeah. When I'm watching this, I'm kind of trying to construct what's happening and also, like, what questions do I have. So, like, questions I had from watching it were, like, oh, is this, you know, one game mode? Among multiple game modes, is this like the campaign? Do I need to do this always with people online? If I want to play with all friends, how many friends do I need? Is, I know, a question both of us had. So basically, I walked away from this feeling confused, concerned, and uninspired. And those are the reasons.
Three really bad things.
And those are the reasons that I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm so hot on this game. And then also, you know, we have already kind of mentioned off camera that visually it's not like, you know, crazy great looking, but that's fine. But when you mix that all in with everything else, it starts to raise some concerns. Now, last year for E3, I felt like, you know, really into the game because it looked fun. You know, you had, you know, voice chat going with like four other people, so it felt more contained. Everyone was working together. There was like frantic chaos things happening with like the water rising in the boat and having to figure it out. It felt very like fast-paced, exciting, lighthearted, and fun. Versus, you know, what I just described this from today's trailer.
Yeah, I would agree that the original trailer that we saw at E3 2016 was really dynamic. It seemed like there was just a lot of action all the time. Mm-hmm. And this one did seem a little slow. I also, I feel like maybe they're trying to recreate this idea of, like, players playing in real time with, like, this over-narration and stuff. But it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I definitely did feel like it wasn't the best part of the game to show, I guess, if you're gonna do like a
live
gameplay type thing. But I'm still like willing to do it, although to be honest, like the idea that I might have to have a lot of people I know to be good at it, it is off-putting to me, mostly because I'm not really an online player, except for I like to play with my friends online, sure, you know, like I would play with you online, or I'd play with Catherine online, or I'd play with my brother, you know, back home online, but I'm not gonna like play with strangers, and I'm not gonna make friends online. That's not what I'm about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's fine if you are about that, but that's not really what I want to do. And so for me, it would be disappointing if I couldn't really play it without sort of being more social online, simply because I got excited for the game ahead of time. But you know, if it's like that, I'll move on. And so that's coming out early 2018. So we'll see.
Oh, so we did get a date on that. I wasn't sure.
Early 2018. Okay. Date, just the time period.
Yeah, frame. That's decent though.
Cuphead, they finally gave the release date for September 29th.
I know, but it's so, like, it's taken so long that I'm not that excited. I'm still going to get it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's going to be here, but I'm, like, all excitement has been, which is also kind of happening with Sea of Thieves already, which I know it's only been 2 years that we've seen it, but it's starting to get in that vein of, like, now I'm just waiting. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's, like, just
waiting
for a long time.
Actually, just, like, a sidebar. How soon should they be showing stuff at E3? And I guess there's some stuff that I don't know about how the game industry works. So maybe to a certain extent, there needs to be a certain level of hype around a game in order for them to continue to get funding, or in order for them to continue to get the sort of attention they need from their overarching companies or whatever. Like, maybe that's the case. But I do feel like, in general, there's a better reception for games that... okay, like, for example, Life is Strange, the next, you know...
Installment?
Yeah, the next volume, I think is what they're calling
it. The next volume
of Life is Strange, which will probably also include 5 episodes, like, the first volume. They did mention that they were going to do one maybe, like, a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And then...
Not even a month? I think, like, literally a few weeks ago.
And then, shockingly, I was not expecting to see this at E3.
Yeah.
Shockingly, in the Microsoft conference, they had an actual... you know, clip from, you know, what the game is going to be. And the first episode is slotted to release August 31st of this year. And you, if you listen to us on our podcast or watch our channel at all, you know, we have a really weird relationship with Life is Strange. Like, Jan and I are sitting there going, oh God, it's so bad. I can't wait to play it, but I don't want to play it. But it's good, but it's bad. You know, so like, if you don't understand where we're coming from at all, it's so angsty. I'm going to play it. I'm excited to play it, but I'm more excited to play the game knowing that I can play it soon. Otherwise, I might kind of just lose, you know, momentum with it. And so I don't mind that it takes a long time to make games, but sometimes I feel like when something's announced, like 3 years before it comes out, I'm like, cool. So by then, I'll be like, I'm thinking, oh, but 3 years from now, I'm going to be like, you know, 26 years old. Maybe I'll be, you know, putting down the first payment on my house, or I've got a dog. I'm like, my life's going to be so different now.
I don't know what you're doing in like two years.
But the difference is 3 or 4 years down the line, and my life's not going to look the same. And so for me, I'm like, I can't even think about 3 or 4 years from now because my life can't be any different than it is now. It's like the episode of How I Met Your Mother when they think, 3 years from now, where will you be?
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably not going to be putting a payment down on a house 3 years from now. But you think about it. And when I'm thinking about that life, actually, I'm like, does this game fit into my life then? I don't know. So you need to, like, get me in the moment. That's what I'm saying.
But, okay, I get what you're saying. I don't follow that specific train of thought because I'm not like, oh, if I'm like sitting in my new house, I'm not gonna want to play Life is Strange. That's not like
I'm being overdramatic.
Yeah,
for effect.
Doesn't make any sense.
All I'm saying is there's a lot that can happen in 3 years.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But like, it's not like, oh, I'm not gonna be in the mood to play this game. I'm not gonna want to play Halo because I'm, you know, I don't have my Jeep or something. But yeah, okay. So on that note, okay. So I'm kind of like reacting to some of the things you said. As far as Life is Strange, yeah, I really don't want to play this game, but I'm also so excited to play this game. I definitely don't dislike Life is Strange. Like, me and Life is Strange, we don't have as bad a relationship as me and Uncharted, so I feel like, you know, more cool with it. I'm also, though, kind of bummed to now, like, when I first played Life is Strange, which I'm going to try to keep this brief because we could talk about this game for, like, forever, and we kind of have. But I first played it, like, all in one swoop, so I'm kind of, like, a little bummed too to have to like do the episodic because I've never done it that way. I did it like binged it. I did episode 1, 2, 3, you know.
You might like playing it episodically.
Yeah, I mean,
it'll frustrate you, but it creates more suspense.
It does, but
I played it episodically.
I don't want to be like immersed in the culture. Life is Strange culture.
You just want to get in, get out.
Yeah, you know.
Be done.
Read all the thing pieces. But now I can write those crappy thing pieces. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I'm going to do, like, vlogs on this. It's going to be good. Okay. But, the content. But, as far as Life is Strange, though, I am excited to see that it looks like, as was semi-rumored, it's going to be a prequel type thing. Its tagline is Before the Storm, right? Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Before the Storm. Yeah.
But what's weird about that is it's not really clear why that's interesting, because the interest in Life is Strange, for those of you who don't know, is that Max, the main character, can rewind time short periods in order to, and affects her, you know, surroundings, and she can sort of use that to get through the game, and that's the kind of interesting component. That's the driving component of the game. And why would Chloe have time rewind powers? So she's a character in the original game who doesn't have those abilities, and so I'm wondering if it's like a spinoff or an alternate reality or something like that where... I mean, and the game's played with the idea of alternate realities already, so it wouldn't be that big of a twist.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they did that, like, if they just gave Chloe those powers or something. Hopefully they don't do anything, I guess, too weird with it. Like, I don't know if Max will be involved at all. I really hope she's not, because I don't really like her that much anyway. So I'm good with her just being gone from that. But, I like they're doing that. Like, I definitely like that's not a sequel, because, like, to me, where it ended, it wouldn't, like...
No.
Make any, like, what?
You
like,
can't, yeah.
Also, yeah, you can't, you would have to, like, make, it'd be weird, like, I don't know, it'd just be weird.
I think that was definitely a really big moment for the conference for a lot of people. I'd say actually the biggest moment for me in the conference was when they, hyped the next Ori.
Yeah.
Ori, the Will of the Wisps.
Yep.
Which is kind of a mouthful, but I don't care because this game is fabulous and they can do whatever the hell they want, I will play it. I'm wondering if you're going to play as Ori still or if you're going to play as a little owl. One of the little owls.
Maybe you get to be both. Maybe you get to be both.
Ooh, like a local couch co-op might be really nice.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah, and then they could always map one of the characters to a button as well. As in, you know how a lot of times when they do local co-op, they also map someone.
The mechanics of Ori and the Blind Forest are super... Perb. So I'm hoping for the Will of the Wisps. Whatever they figure out to do, I don't care. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. We have no idea when it's coming out, but it'll be all right.
Yeah, and I like that as a... That's a fun exclusive, at least console exclusive, that Xbox has. That's actually really good. So that's super cool. That's one of the reasons. That often, right? Yes, that does not happen that often. That's one of the reasons I bought the Xbox. That was the first game I had for Xbox that I really, really liked and played a lot of. That's outside. Anyway, but so that's really cool. I'm excited about that. And additionally, I guess to backtrack real fast, and kind of speaking of, like, maybe what we want, like, from game trailers and things, like, to go back really quick to that indie game that had, like, this snotty, this weird, like, oh, when it's ready. The Artful Escape is the name of the game. The original name of the game was a smidge longer. It was called The Artful Escape of Francis Vendetti.
Oh, okay.
Francis Vendetti is the character, the psychedelic rock star thing. Yeah, I think it makes sense to make it shorter because it sounded kind of, like, long and, like, a little pretentious. But one thing that I was a little bummed out from seeing it here was that, like, I didn't, like, get any of, like, the vibe of what the game is as opposed to, like, the Kickstarter video. Which, granted, I get maybe it can't be as long. But, like, the Kickstarter video, I understood that it's, like, oh, you're traveling with these magical, like, worlds or, like, psychedelic dreams or something. Like, I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Knew at the time when it was.
Yeah, and that, like, music's involved and that, like, you can fight things, like, using, like, your guitar. And, like, it seemed really cool and whimsical and great. And here I just got the psychedelic kind of part, but I didn't really get any of the gameplay components at all, which was disappointing to see because I'm like, oh, you know, that'll kind of, like, lessen, I think, the hype for a good amount of people. I'm also interested in The Last Night as well because it has, like, a good aesthetic. I guess for me, too, since I asked you what your taste in games is, for me, I really don't know anymore who I am or where I'm going. I know I love platformers. I'm fond of puzzlers. I enjoy games that have a small stealth component that I can ignore and just start, like, murdering people as well. Like, I like when it's, like, stealth, but, like, stealth, cheap stealth.
You're gonna love Dishonored.
No, I'm so excited. Yeah, and I have it. I need to install it and play it. I have to wait because I have to play Thief.
Oh, I gave it to you.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I have to wait, but I have to play Thief, and I know Thief is, like, a lesser version mechanically of Dishonored.
Yeah, so, I'm sure it's not nearly as good.
But since they're similar, I also don't want to play them back to back, so I gotta, like, play Thief, like, it's like I got it all planned out, but yeah, okay. So that's kind of my taste. So on that note, like, the Last Night game, I like the aesthetic of it. So the other thing is I'm really big on aesthetics, so, like,
yeah,
cute stuff. If it's, like, cute, creepy looking, I'm, like, into it, and that one's, like, cute and creepy looking, so I'm into it. I'm bummed that Tacoma didn't get, like, a trailer at all, because it comes out August 2nd. It is, like, an indie game. It's made by Fulbright, who I believe made Gone Home, if I'm remembering that right.
That was the one with the weird digital-looking people.
Yes, the digital
people. Based on what I saw, I'll probably play it, just also knowing that it's the Gone Home, if you're right about that.
Yeah.
But other than Google that, as well. Yeah, I just, like, nothing was shown about it. I have no idea what the game is about. Yeah, and, like,
I want to know what it is.
It's coming out in August. Why do I not know what the game is about?
Yeah, I feel like that's like, a missed opportunity because I don't know what the game is. Like, I've heard of the game before, and if you're in the indie scene, they did make Gone Home Fulbright. Know it. And, like, I remember people that I listened to on podcasts talking about it briefly, but, like, that's not enough. I should have to go to, like, additional sources to know what this game is about if it's coming E3. Out so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should know what it is.
Those are just fireworks.
I couldn't place the sound, so that's why I kept getting weirded out.
Yeah, no, because I see a light in the side, so that's why. Yeah. Continuing down on that line, Super Lucky's Tales. Now, this, September 7th, this sounds like a game, like, on paper, this should be a game that I'm really excited about. Because what? It's cute. It should be
a this game. This does not
that
I'm look really like a game about. You would like.
I said on paper, this should be a game I'm excited about. It's cute. It's a platformer. Fine. But something about it comes off as very generic to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I said on paper.
It's like a game that came out in the 90s.
Yeah, and in a bad way.
In a horrible way.
It looks
like
in
Frogger's Adventure.
It looks like you
put the tall frog, not the little frog.
Looks like you put some game qualities into a machine and then just, like, auto-generated.
And they don't all match.
Yeah.
Yeah. That fox does not, whatever the hell that is,
the bootleg tails fox.
Does not fit in.
He doesn't even look like a fox.
He doesn't look like anything else in the world that he's in. Mm-hmm. And he looks derpy, and I hate him.
He looks bad. Everything else is cuter than him. Also, it's all too bright. You can't have, like, I never thought I'd say this, but everything can't be cute. Literally everything is cute, so now nothing is cute to me. Like, the ghost is cute, the freaking grass is cute, like, it's just too...
Everything's cute except the fox.
Everything is, it's just too much. Like, it doesn't, it lacks any identity. Like, when I look at the screen, I don't know where my eyes should go. Because everything is too busy. The difference is that,
also, like, the protagonist in these kind of characters is important. Mm-hmm. Just like with Ori, you know, Ori has this really strong sense of protagonist, even though it's, like, a non... sort of speaking protagonist and just this cutie little, you know, whatever. It has a sense of personality, you know, to Ori. And this
and it
just
glows
like
and contrasts well with its world.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
It's too, like, it just doesn't, it's, well, I think everything in that world goes together. It all looks like it's the same, like, general shading, but not, like,
but I also,
it's like seven, it's like, you know what this is? This game was like a group project that, like, went wrong. Hmm. It's like everyone's ideas were in there
they
at once.
Make decisions.
And it doesn't look good. Looks bad.
You know,
it comes out September.
To me, it struck me as a game that was for children. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is for children. And even then, I probably wouldn't want my child to play it. And not that I have a child, just for the record, I don't. But if I did, I wouldn't want them playing this game. Because I want them to play good games. I'm sorry, it doesn't look good. It looks really bad. I'll have them on Ori. Ori's way better.
Yeah, Ori's going to be great. Ashton,
I'm already planning
too.
Out my children's, like, video game education, whatever.
Ashton looked good too, but I don't know what that game's about, like, at all.
It no, just, me neither. It looked great. I'll play it. I would check that out. And I think the last big thing for me mm-hmm. was Anthem. Because, as hopefully you know if you watch our show at all, I am really into BioWare, or I have been until this year, and I'm starting to have an identity crisis. And it's really frustrating and strange to me because Mass Effect Andromeda was, like, minorly enjoyable, but also, like, really problematic in certain ways and, like, kind of lacking in certain qualities. It felt like it lost its personality to some extent for Mass Effect, and that was hard and weird for me because I'm, like, was obsessed with Mass Effect for a really long time. And then, man, I'm glad I didn't get that tattoo. And I'm just joking. I wasn't going to get a tattoo.
Well, what Mass Effect tattoo would you want to get?
Like, maybe an N7, you know, tattoo or something.
That's decent.
But now BioWare is doing... Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to, like, stymie someone's, you know, creative juices or whatever. That's a horrible sentence. But they're doing something really weird. It's like... I know some people have described it as a mix of, Destiny and...
Mass Effect.
Which sounds horrible to me. And... That is exactly what it looks like. And so you're basically, if you don't know, you're basically part of this group called the Freelancers, and you go outside the wall to explore or whatever, but you have, like, this whole group of people that you go with. It feels very Destiny in the style of play. And if you like Destiny, that might feel nice to you, which is great. But I feel like that's pretty, like, I guess the game style for Anthem feels a little bit generic. And BioWare is not really supposed to be like that. Like, what mm-hmm. they do normally is, like, they have their own formula for games that I love. And I like their variations in the formula. And now they're, like, ditching the formula. And I'm like, but can I have a little bit of the formula? Can mm-hmm. we, like, throw a couple extra ingredients in there? I'm like, no, we're throwing it all out. And I'm like, I don't want to play this game. I'm not going
to
play the game.
So, like, what about Anthem to you, like, strikes you as not, like, BioWare enough? Or, like, not of... You know, what
the graphics and the fighting style are kind of BioWare-y if you look at, like, Mass Effect. But if you look at all the rest of their IPs, Dragon Age, Star Wars Knights of the Republic, and Mass Effect, there's this sense of narrative and your choices making a difference and of relationship building mm-hmm. and sort of affecting the world around you and, you know, like, stuff that's really interesting and weird and they do, I think, usually better than a lot of other people who try to do something similar. This game just seems like it's not got any of that. And maybe I'm wrong, but the trailer itself didn't, like, indicate any of that. It's very, very online multiplayer. Like, play with all your friends. And I'm like, I don't have any friends. I just want to fall in love with the weird characters you make. Come on. BioWare is supposed to be for the people who don't have any friends. You know? So I'm a little bummed out. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not really into it. I think I might be disowning BioWare, and it's making me sad.
That's big.
I know.
That's a hard. You know,
it's hard.
It's hard to realize that, like, a publisher or developer. I always mix those two up. Whatever. game maker, whatever the phrase is, you know, someone that you, company that you appreciate, isn't like maybe as magical as you once thought it was.
Maybe I thought they were good because I was younger. I don't know.
I'm kind of having that feeling with Naughty Dog a little bit, but then also I know they made The Last of Us, and I know that's dope, and I haven't played a lot of it, but I played enough of it to know it's damn good.
Yeah.
Really good. So I'm actually, I lucked out with that shot to The Last of Us because I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, I forgot what other games they've made, but like, you know, Jack and Daxter, good. You know, Last of Us, good. I'm like, Uncharted. No. The Last of Us, good. Like, you know, it's like, like, I'm like, maybe. And then it was funny, too, like, playing, you know, once you get to know, like, a publisher slash a developer, like, playing those games and, like, seeing them be played, you kind of start to realize, especially, like, between Jack and Daxter and Uncharted, I'm like, these are, you know, like, the flaws kind of repeat themselves, and you're like, or like, the tropes, you're like, oh, so I know, like, this is gonna happen, or I bet I can't go here, I bet it'll show me how to do this, and then you realize,
that definitely, like, happens with BioWare
then
games.
You realize, like, you know, this ain't really that good, but luckily The Last of Us saved it, so, and there's, I'm sure, other good things from that, but yeah, it's hard to realize the faults in that.
So, I mean, for me, I guess the summary of the Microsoft conference would be, just sort of era-ending crushing disappointment.
Wow.
But sprinkled in with some really cool new games that I'm excited to play, even though a huge part of my childhood and adolescence is dying.
It's only one game. Okay, but it can't make one game you don't like. Maybe it's a good game that you just don't like.
Okay, maybe.
Is it because it's following up?
I'm not saying it's going to be a bad game. I'm saying that it's not doing the things that I want, like, that I go to that company for.
Mm-hmm.
And also Andromeda was very, even Andromeda left me with like a weird, oh, my life is changing feeling, and I don't like it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then this was like, oh, a new IP, I can't wait to see what it is, and I got my hopes up, you know, with a teaser in EA, and then they come in at the very, very, very end. If it wasn't at the end, I probably wouldn't be this upset right now, because we just watched it, okay? Yeah. But the end of Microsoft conference, and show you everything that you ever wanted from this company is dead. We're not doing it ever again. And I know that's overdramatic, and I know they probably will make other games like it again, and I know I'm probably going to play them, and then I'll be like, I love BioWare, probably. But I'd say that for me, the end of the conference being like, let's focus on BioWare and their new IP, being something completely different that I don't think is going to get that great of a reception, is disappointing for me. Microsoft on a whole was good. The ending was very disappointing for me.
Yeah. All right then. Yeah. Well, on my end of things for Microsoft, I felt really like lukewarm about everything. Yeah. A little underwhelmed, but that's okay. I don't know. Maybe it's not okay. I don't know. I was really excited for the conference, and I guess I feel like it didn't live up to expectation because I think it could maybe eventually down the line, but a lot of these games were shown so briefly that I didn't really get a good sense on if I want them, or they were like shown but like maybe not given a date, or like, I don't know. It felt like very like a lot of like solid games. Like almost nothing looked bad to me except for, was it Shadow of War? Was that the game? That looked awful.
Oh, yeah,
awful.
I didn't want
to
play that.
That was like a taste thing. That wasn't all the game's fault, but it looked creepy and weird and messed up, and I don't want to take over people's brains and then make them fight for me. That's scary. So it was just kind of like a lot of like midline things for me. I guess the things I am excited about are some of the indie titles, like the Artful Escape. Ooblets was shown for like a hot second. Like, looking forward to Ooblets.
I'm all about Ooblets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gonna be really good. Ori, I'm definitely excited for. And Life is Strange, I am begrudgingly very excited for. I cannot wait. Cannot wait for that game. But other than that, I think that's kind of about it.
Yeah.
For me, for things I'm excited about, which is not that many. And I mean, if I'm excited for Life is Strange and Ori, those games already existed. I mean, I know they're new, so it's like it's totally a different thing, and that still counts. That very much counts. But
it's nice to have a new IP to look for.
Yeah, I was looking for like a new IP to really wow me, and all these games I've known about before, except for Ori. So yeah, it was kind of like,
yeah. Well, we'll see.
It was decent.
What the rest of the lineup has for E3, we still have Sony, we still have Nintendo, we still have Bethesda.
Nintendo, please.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good rest of E3, so make sure to tune in for our other videos on our E3 coverage and sort of our thoughts on things, and check us out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can like all those little buttons on our YouTube channel. Yep. If you're listening on the podcast, then you can go ahead and find us on Twitter at
Bit by Bit Gaming and Instagram at Bit by Gaming.
Okay, and then it's Bit by Bit Gamers for Facebook, but you can just type in Bit by Bit. And on Pinterest, we are also Bit by Bit Gamers, I believe. Type in Bit by Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Type in Bit by Bit on Pinterest. It's going to be good.
But really, you can find everything that we do and ever have done and all our hopes, dreams, inspirations, all that stuff at our official website, which is bitbygamers.com. Our YouTube is youtube.com/bitbybit. So be sure to check us out there. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to give this video a thumbs up. Be sure to subscribe and comment below or contact us on social media about how you felt about the Microsoft conference. What games were you excited for? What games were you maybe disappointed in? Are you getting Xbox One X? How do you feel about the name Xbox One X? And all that good stuff. And we will see you here for the next thing that E3 has to offer.
All right, thanks. Bye.